Opposite Sex Friendships Outside of Marriage, Part 2. You missed yesterday. Wow. Man, we had a talk. With some really honest folks calling in from all around the country, just telling us what it's like and what it's about when it comes to maintaining or avoiding or running from or being hurt by friendships, opposite sex friendships outside your marriage. When they work, they work. When they don't work, wow, it can be very painful. And so we wrapped up yesterday with the promise we'd continue today. We had a lot of callers that are ready to go and they're going to share their stories. And you're welcome to share yours on our story line, which is open to you at 888-888-1717. Why do we talk about this? I'll tell you why. We talk about this because it can be life-changing for someone today. I've gotten calls after shows like this, someone saying, thank you, I was about ready to really wreck my life and the life of somebody else. And this was a wake-up call. And so that's why we do this. And you're part of it. We're all in this community together. And thanks to those who pray for us and those of you who just financially support what we do, we're able to do this on radio, on our network of radio stations around the country, through our events, through our podcasts, and through our publications, books, and things that we create, including the platform of teaching that goes out to our members all around the country. Every month, new teaching to encourage you. Anyway, that's why we're here. So you're welcome to share your story. 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's go. Let's go to Teresa, who's first in New Mexico. Hi, Teresa. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Obviously, you got prompted to call today. Why?
Because it hit home.
Tell me about it.
I want to talk with clarity, so sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, for a big part of my life, I have been involved. I finally decided that what I had was a spirit of lust. I don't know what I was calling it before, but God was like, get real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I decided to give my life completely to God and stop with one foot in and one foot out.
Good.
And part of that was giving up my relationships. I had been in a same-sex relationship for a long time, and so I had been with men and women, but I said, okay, God, I'm just serving you 100%. So the story goes, I made a friendship with a man in our church, and I had met him in a group, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to be his friend. Well, it turned out to be more, he started, you know, I was honest with him where I had been, and he started changing his language, and it became sexual. And I was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Why are you talking to me like this? I'm a Christian. I'm not who I was, and I'm not going that way. So I stopped that relationship. I'm no longer his friend. I will say hello and be cordial, but I will not talk to him or text him any longer.
That's good.
And I realized that my focus is strictly God. If God has somebody for me in the future, then he has a lot of work to do on me.
Now listen, Teresa, let me help you. You've taken a step to say, I'm done with this. That's the first step in intentional living. The pain's got to get so much, you just say, I'm done with this. I don't know what my life is about. I'm going the wrong direction. And you made the most intentional decision ever to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior. And if you haven't, you need to say that. You need to make sure that that's clear, that you say, God, I need you in my life. There's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And then secondly, you understand that, hey, just because you made that decision doesn't mean those temptations and those desires are just going to go away. The Bible says that if we delight ourselves in him, he'll give us the desires of our heart, which means he changes the desires of our heart as we get into the proximity of our relationship with him. And the Bible tells us in James 1 that a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. And so telling yourself the truth is part of this process, Teresa, to say, the truth is, I'm only going to find my joy in my relationship with Christ when I choose not to be involved in relationships outside of what God wants and what's healthy. And let me just encourage another thing. You need to be in a community where the Bible's being taught, where people are going to be encouraging you, and you have support for yourself. Don't go at this alone. And you have there are classes available for people who struggle with lust. I mean, this can be as much of a struggle as gambling or other kinds of things that people are drawn into. And so the fact that I'm glad you're listening to the radio station. 24 hours a day, there in New Mexico, you're finding a lot of encouragement on the radio. The worship. Fill your mind with the truth. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. All right? In fact, we're told to flee the things that cause us not to experience that in our life. And so our prayer for you, Teresa, is that you will discover what God's intention is for your life, and you're going to only do that in the right community of people, right? In a Bible-believing, teaching church where you're going to grow and find that kind of encouragement for yourself. That's where you need to be. I want you to hang on. I want, Stephen, if you have a minute, can you talk to Teresa, pray with her, encourage her, maybe plug her in to some churches, maybe. I don't know where she's involved, but in some churches in New Mexico. In fact, Jennifer, that's your home, right? You might have some ideas. All right, Teresa, pray for Teresa. She's just honest. Listen, Satan loves to camp, not in our strengths, okay? Satan is not stupid. He's as wise as, what do they say, wise as a serpent, right? And he's not stupid. He understands that if he's going to attack you or me, he's going to find out what your weakness is. And this may not be your weakness. You may listen to this today and say, come on, just tough it up. But you got a weakness that might be anger, emotional hijacking in your life. It might be in areas of honesty. I don't know. We all have areas where Satan would love to come and camp and build his little tent and create the problems in our life. Because if he can get in there, boy, he can wreak havoc. All right, opposite sex friendships. Can we take a break? I think we need a little breather. Come back, and I'll get to Amy, I think, next. Amy, hang on. We'll get to you and Ann and Tom coming up in a moment.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
This is one thing you can do whenever worry has you by the throat. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. People with an anxiety disorder are 3 times more likely to see a doctor and 6 times more likely to be hospitalized in the U.S. So here's one thing we can do to deal with worry and anxiety. Humbly beg God for help. You know, the scripture says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, supplication is going to your Heavenly Father and actually begging, saying, Father, please help me with this anxiety I'm struggling with. You know, one of the things that we can do every day to deal with anxiety is to go to our Father and ask for His help. And when you do that one thing today, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. That's just one of the IL minutes that we produce that go out around the country and around the world online. And you know, that one on anxiety, boy, I tell you, I know a lot of you all wrestle with it. I wrestled with that in the past, off and on. I think we all have that. But I don't know, for a period of time, Jennifer, I had when I was in my 30s, I had 6 months, a year, where I had anxiety attacks, panic attacks. And I have no idea where they came from. I have no idea how they left. But I think God gives me those kinds of experiences to have some empathy and understanding for people who go through them. Anxiety is a big thing, isn't it? Yeah. And so that verse, I guess, sometimes I share these IL minutes because they're things I think will be helpful to you because I find them helpful to me. Today, we happen to be focusing on opposite-sex friendships, and I hope you will pray for Teresa and for everybody who's calling today. Let's go. I'm going to Tom in Arizona. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Doctor. Just real quick, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your perspective. In my humble opinion, you just nail it every time.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. I've learned, my background is childhood, massively dysfunctional childhood, mini-series kind of stuff. When I became an adult, I thought that what it meant to be a man was to be promiscuous. And I was very, very good at that. And I didn't know true love until I fell in love with my wife 13 years ago. And she was the first woman that I actually got to know before I got the candy. And I came to realize that once you get the candy and they stop giving you the candy, then you look at them and you go, why am I with you? So I've come to learn that I will not interact with single women, for sure. When we go out and we meet people, I don't remember women's names unless the couples become very, very, very dear friends of ours. Otherwise, I just ignore them.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tom, that you have a vulnerability in this potential area.
Absolutely. Just like you were talking about just a little while ago. Yes. Yeah. I don't need stuff getting in my head because that happens naturally anyways.
Yeah. And I think we just have to be honest with each other. You know, some of you like Tom, maybe that's been a lifestyle for you in the past and that switch got switched. That's a hard switch to turn off. And you give your life to Christ, that's the beginning. And the power of the Holy Spirit asking for Him every day to heal. And as the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But again, unless we stay in that proximity to Him, delight ourselves in Him so we have the right kind of desires of our heart, we can continue to fall. And Tom, you said it. You know, I'm just not going to be vulnerable. I'm just not going to put myself in a place where I can get bit. Now, here's the thing. That's why the decision before the decision really makes a big difference. That's not only, by the way, that's not only for this. This could be for food. Come on. I got to be careful. I got to watch for that. Whoa, boy. I'm going to see that candy bar, but I don't need that candy bar. And that candy bar is not good for me. And so I'm going to stay away from it. Okay? That's my thing. So I don't know. We all have these things, and as I mentioned in the book of James, where it says that when we get tempted, then we're drawn away and we're enticed, and when we have that fulfill in our lives, it can lead to death, and that's part of the process, frankly, of how habits are formed in a life, good or bad. All right, Tom, that was right on, man. That hit the target, and thank you, man, for your honesty and sharing with us. Let me go to Amy in Kansas. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call today. What would you like to share?
Yeah, thank you for your ministry. Just one thing real quick that my husband actually has done for most of our 22 years of marriage is whenever he goes to the gym to work out, he's prayed for us to only be attracted to each other.
Mm.
And that's been huge, I think. And then one thing I've been working on over our years of marriage is if I'm in a group of men or one-on-one, like with a medical professional or whatever, is I always mention my husband and something positive about him.
Yeah.
So they know I'm happily married.
And you know what, how does it feel when you know your husband, you know, prays with you about that and that he's made these kinds of decisions? How does that make you feel knowing you've talked about that even before he goes out?
Just, you know, I trust him and I just appreciate that he has that, you know, godly wisdom and that heart to have me be the only one.
You know, we probably have some people listening, Amy, who are thinking this is not only old fashioned, but it's just irrelevant in terms of the culture in which we're living today. What do you say to them? Why do you do this? Why is this important to you?
'Cause if you play with fire, you're going to get burnt. You know, you end up somewhere at your home or your friend's house, one-on-one with another man. You just don't know. what's going through their head or what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's face it, we do get back to that, the signals that we're sending. People can pick up on that. Yeah. All right. Thank you. What are you, Jennifer? You've been listening yesterday and today and hearing these calls. And what do you all think about this topic?
I love people's perspectives because, you know, just like Amy, like Tom, they're giving it, you know, their advice, essentially what they do. And it's, for me, it's like, oh, I never thought about that. That's really good.
Yeah.
So I love also, I mean, the people who call with their hurt and pain, we don't like hearing that. We don't like hearing that you're in pain, but your story is powerful. And when you call in and you're being so brave, and sharing your story, you're helping, I think, somebody else. There's somebody who's maybe in that position that you're in, or, you know, thinking about being in. Maybe you're toiling with that thought of, you know, being with somebody that you shouldn't, and you know that. So I don't know. It's hard to hear the truth sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also wonderful when you know that you can change.
Right.
And God is with you. If you let him, if you let him in, he will help you.
Amen.
But I really love, you know, learning other people's ways. I love the idea of praying for your spouse, and say, I like that, what Amy just said. You know, I pray for him, but I say something nice, positive to somebody else about him. What's better than bragging on your spouse?
And that's being intentional, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being intentional, for sure. All right, let's get back to calls. By the way, if you want to weigh in on this, on our comment line, Stephen listens to the comments. Like, he loves hearing your stories. Takes him all day, but he loves hearing your stories. 888-888-1717. Late into the evening, Stephen. 888-888-1717 is the number. Ann is in Kansas. Hi, Ann. How are you today?
Good.
Good. Thank you. Appreciate your call. Well, how do you relate to this topic?
Well, the opposite sex friend is in my husband's life, and it is pornography.
Mm. And you guys have obviously talked about it?
Yeah. He had told me about a year and a half ago. And probably 3 years before that, he kept saying, something's wrong with our marriage. Something's wrong with our marriage. Well, I kind of always had the, I don't know, fake it till you make it kind of philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was happy. I didn't think there was anything wrong. I wasn't doing anything wrong. But it ended up getting where, you know, there's not a lot of talking going on, or, and I just said, let's go to marriage counseling. And one of the steps in that was to ask forgiveness. I struggled trying to find things to forgive me for, and I found things. His thing was that.
And that's, did that surprise you?
Yeah, it totally surprised me.
Yeah. How long ago was this?
About a year and a half ago.
Are you still in counseling? Is he working on this? Are you guys, is there progress?
No progress has been made, honestly.
Yeah.
And counseling was kind of, he didn't care to go back. Before this, about a year and a half into our marriage, he had come home, said he met up with a buddy at his garage, and they went to a women's degrading club, in my opinion. And he came home like it was no big deal. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And we had had a 9-month-old. I was like, what? What are you talking about? And so he found out quickly. I thought it was a big deal.
So where are you now? Where are you now in your marriage?
I don't know. I just don't blow up very often. So just roommates.
Yeah. You know, we talk about that. We move from this idea of being soulmates. And this is a big thing where we can move to this idea, like you say, just roommates. We're just, you know, living together, which, by the way, hurts you, obviously, and your family, your spirit, hurts him too. And, you know, we're all about is getting as honest as we possibly can to deal with things in our life for, we believe, for God's glory. First of all, you got to want to give God the glory. In other words, you have a relationship with Him. And then secondly, for the benefit that occurs within the family and the family relationship. And sometimes there has to be a slow leak that has to be dealt with to say, hey, we got to get this on the table. You know, this has got to be dealt with. This is something that's affecting me, our kids, my life. And that's where we pray decisions are made that will be the, for the benefit of both people and the family. And if your husband or you guys are interested, we know Steve Arterburn. Some of you know who he is. He has a whole part of their ministry that focuses on what he calls every man, every woman's battle, which is conferences and books and things that can be helpful. And we've referenced those before because I know it's a big part of what they do. With that, that's not what we do necessarily. It's not a focus of our ministry. We want to help people make a decision and then do the next right one thing to move in that direction. And the next right one thing is to be honest and get the things on the table and say before God, we're going to deal with these things. Because listen, let me just turn away and talk to you all. As you hear a call like that, maybe to some degree you're dealing with that in your own life and you realize you have a choice we have to make. Are we going to continue to live in this point of where we're in pain constantly? No one benefits from that. And I guess I'm an optimist. I've seen people make a decision before God on their knees to say, I'm done with this, whatever it may be. This is just one topic, whatever it is. I'm sick of this. And there's something better for us, for me, for our life, for our family. And when two people do that, I've seen this in our marriage conferences, when two people before God say, we're done with this, not done with our marriage, but done with this, God can do healing in that marriage. And we're just believers that God's still in the business of transforming lives when the right kind of decisions can be made. And when they're not, what does the verse say we just talked about? It leads to destruction when we don't. And that's a sad thing. We don't want that for any of you. Take a break, then I'll be right back.
I was a cheating spouse, and the way I was living intentionally about letting my spouse know where I was, what I was doing, basically let her know where I was 24/7, and now I've got her trust back, and it took probably 8 years.
The intentional journey is a difficult road where men and women work and pray hard in order to experience God-honoring relationships. You can encourage thousands to start and maintain their journey when you keep the message of intentional living with Dr. Randy Carlson on the air. Become a monthly member today at theintentionallife.com.
And you listen, when you support the ministry, you help us just share the truth. We do it in as loving way as we can because we know we live in a difficult time. I have to admit, when as I look around, it's easy to fall into discouragement when it comes to trying to live our lives a way that'll bring glory to God in a world that certainly not only doesn't want to do that, but it wants to marginalize those of us who do, criticize those of us who do. And I just say to those of you who are listening, you're obviously listening for a reason. You want something better in your life. You want something better in your relationships. And we just believe that God is a God of healing and restoration. At least that's what His desire is. And it's just really a decision we have to make. Are we going to choose to move toward Him or move away from Him? That's a decision. All right, opposite sex friendships. Let's go. I think we've got time for Hannah in New Mexico. And by the way, if you want to leave a comment, you can do so at 888-888-1717.
Hi, my name's Hannah, and I was calling to comment on the friendships of opposite sex. I've been married for only 5 years, but me and my husband, in order to make things work, have always made sure that the other one knows who we're hanging out with, what we're doing, and all of that. And any friend that I have of the opposite sex also knows that anything they say or do to me is going to be told to my husband. We don't have secrets about our friendships of the opposite sex because I believe that would leave us way too vulnerable. And another thing is when we're talking about the relationships that we have with people, either of us can say at any point if we feel like we see or hear something going on that our significant other is missing, we can say, I don't think this friendship is healthy. And we just have the veto power to say, I would like you to end that friendship. And we always have honored and respected that, because as a spouse, our relationship comes first to each other. And so if I ever have had a friendship that would make my husband uncomfortable, then because I value him more, I would always end that relationship, and vice versa. And that's how we set those boundaries up. We first, anyone we're friends with knows that anything they say to us is going to be shared with our spouse. And the second thing is our spouse has the power to end that friendship if they feel necessary, because they're doing it out of our protection. And nowadays, you have to be really careful about opposite sex friendships. But as long as you're trusting God and trusting your spouse and submitting to them first, then it should never be an issue. But once you step outside of that submissive relationship to your spouse and God, that's when you become vulnerable. Yeah,
that's right. Absolutely, Hannah. You know, the Bible says be mutually submissive one to another. And if you or I are doing something that's bugging our spouse big time, especially in the areas, Don and I were talking about this yesterday. There's a difference between, because remember the caller we had a few days ago talked about the expectations and conditions. And so got Don and I talking, and conditions are things we say, this is just not going to, that's a line in the sand. But we all have preferences or expectations, you know. I expect that certain things are going to happen. They may not happen. That's different. Anyway, what I'm driving at here is we have to be clear in our relationship with each other that we have reasonable expectations, but at the same time are clear that if our spouse has a need, something that they expect and desire, that we would bend over backward to try to meet that. Not, we can't always do it, but clearly on things that are as significant as this, we need to, for God's glory and frankly for our own peace of mind and our own spirit and our own relationship with Christ, not to mention our marriage. All right, remember, intentional living, here's what we're talking about. Got to make a decision, first step. Number two, every day, got to develop the kind of godly habits that'll get you there. And number three, got to declutter the junk that keeps you from getting there. Your mind, your heart, your relationships, that's what we're talking about today, right? Get that out of there so you can reach the goals that you've set for a higher calling in your relationship with Christ. I'm Dr. Randy. Thanks for joining me today. Love your feedback on this. Our comments lines, I'm sure they'll blow up with your thoughts, pro, con, up, down. But at the end of the day, what is God's word? What's His intention? I'm Dr. Randy. For the entire team here, have a great day. This is Intentional Living, part of Intentional Life Media.